You're in Hebrews chapter 11. You can let your eyes find verse 13. This is where we'll begin. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Think about that last phrase, "He hath prepared for them a city." Jesus said that in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And He said, "I go to prepare a place for you," right? And that's in that city, that heavenly city. We see in Revelation chapter 21, 22, I can't remember exactly, one of those, the new city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to the earth after the millennial kingdom, and we will dwell in that heavenly city. And so these folks were people of faith who, although they died having not received the promise, they saw them afar off. We're going to learn some things today about faith. Now, there are, I know, how about those Blue Jays? Are they I've heard they lost. Did they lose the last couple games? Yeah. But they've made a long ways, and we're still rooting for them. I know many of you are. Some of you don't care. But anyway, in the sporting field or sporting world, there are pretty much, I think, most sports have what's called a Hall of Fame, right? I saw that the baseball, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is in Cooperstown, New York. And the NFL has a Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. There is the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. And these Hall of Fames, of course, if you go to them, you're going to, of course, see memorabilia of baseball or hockey or whatever sport is displaying. And you'll see names of famous people, famous players, right? The names, pictures, their uniforms, maybe their jerseys. You'll see those things, the bat, the skates they used. You'll see some things about that. You'll read about accomplishments, such as, records they broke or set and things like that. And so you read about those kind of accomplishments. You read about their career in the sport and this sort of thing. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have, if you will, God's Hall of Fame, in a sense. And this chapter's been affectionately referred to by many, many, many preachers before me and Christians as the Hall of Faith. Because that's what, you know, we're, as believers, we have no great exploits outside of faith. Amen? And in this chapter, if you're not familiar with chapter 11, I would encourage you to, after the service, you go home, have lunch, and then sit down somewhere and just read Hebrews chapter 11. You'll read about the great list of men and women who, by faith, accomplished things for God and with God's, they glorified God in their life. You read about Abel, who by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. You'll read about Noah, who by faith built an ark to the saving of his house. You read about Abraham and Sarah. They did many things by faith. They first left their native land of Ur, of the Chaldees or the Chaldean area, whatever, how you say it, and they moved. God said, "Go to a land I will show you, and I will give you that land." And if you said to Abraham, "Where are you from?" "Well, I'm from Ur of the Chaldees." "Where are you going?" "I don't know." He didn't know where he was going. He didn't tell him where. He just said, "Go, and I'll lead you, and I'll show you." And so by faith, they went there. And then you know how Abraham and Sarah, by faith, when they were old, having not had any children, they had a son. when Sarah was like 90 years old. That's by faith. That doesn't happen naturally. That's not normal. And Abraham was 100 years old. And so these are things that happened in their life by faith. And when we come down to verse number 13, and it says these, I believe that's the these that he's talking about. The ones I just mentioned are the ones in the verses before, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. These all died in faith, and they walked by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, just if you looked up the page at verse 38, that now the just shall live by faith. Look, just for a minute, this is all introduction, but I'm just trying to get your thoughts here into this passage. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. Many of you know this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so, I think you'll understand this right away. I don't have to take time to prove it to you in the Bible, but we are saved by faith. Is that right? We're saved by faith. You're not saved by works. What's the difference? Those who work, some religions teach that you, by being good, by doing good things, you can earn your way to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that good works, we could never have enough of them to overcome or to atone for our sins. Sin is not cleansed by good works. Sin is only cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we receive that cleansing, that forgiveness, and that salvation by faith, by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say believe, it's more than just saying, well, historically, okay, I believe He lived. I believe that. It means I'm putting my trust in Jesus to save me. I'm trusting Him. I'm relying upon Him. When I put faith in something, I'm putting my reliance, my trust, my hope in that. And when you put faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us at Calvary on the cross, when He died for us and was buried and rose again, when we put our relying faith, our trusting faith in Him to get me to heaven, to forgive my sins, to save my soul, the Bible says then that we are born again, we're saved by faith. For it's by grace through faith that you're saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by faith, but then we notice as Christians, and as any people, without faith, it's impossible to not only be saved, but it's impossible to please God without faith. How many of you want to please God? You can't do it without faith. And I'm not. And this is something, of course, being saved, saving faith, but beyond that, in addition to that, after we're saved, we continue on and we're to walk. The just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. And when we live a life of faith, that pleases God. Amen? When we live a life that's, we can either do it two ways. Basically, you can walk by faith. Faith looks to God. Faith believes in the promises. Faith trusts the Lord as we go through life. Or you can walk by sight. That means that you just, you figure it out. You go where you think is best. You walk by sight. And those are different paths. They might intersect now and then, or they might, parallel for a little while, but the walk of faith is different. And we're to walk in faith. We're to live by faith. And so, listen, think about this. If you have to be saved by faith, and you have to be, and to please God, in order to please God, you have to have faith. How many believe faith is pretty important? That's pretty important right there. I mean, to be saved, that's really important. And I want to please God. The bottom line of my life is, I want my life to be pleasing to God. So, it's important that we live by faith. So this is an important thing that we understand what it means. And I think in this example of these that we're reading about in verse 13, we can find out some things about faith. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll go through these 7 points rapidly. Our Heavenly Father, we come to ask for Your grace And Lord, we know that even faith and our faith in you, Lord, is because of your grace in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to help us. We pray that you'd increase our faith. Lord, as one man in the Bible said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And help us to believe more. Help us to walk by faith, to live by faith. And teach us now from the example of these, Lord, how we might please you in faith. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I put on your outline is the passing of faith or passing faith. And that's kind of a little bit hard to grasp from that title what I'm getting at in there. But it says these all died. We say people passed, right? They passed on. These died in faith. Now, they not only died in faith, saving faith, but they died in the faith. What does that mean? That means, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this, that yes, these people that we're talking about in this chapter, they were saved by faith, but they also died in faith. In other words, they walked by faith all the way throughout their life so that when it came to the time of their death, they were walking in faith still. And that's something that I want to be able to do in my life. And it's not a given that, I mean, it's a given that, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior and I'm going to be saved. He gives us eternal life and we're not losing that. But the fact is you can be saved, you can walk by faith for a few years and then begin to walk by sight and no longer live a life of faith, right? Do you understand that? So I don't want to just begin in faith. I've come this far by faith, but I want to continue and I want to finish in faith. I want to walk all the way out the door in faith, walking by faith throughout my life. And we should all desire that. I believe Noah, we've been reading about him on Thursday nights in our study of Genesis. And Noah, I know he wasn't perfect. We read about last week where he got drunk and this sort of thing. But I believe Noah was a man of faith. And even though imperfect, as all of us are as well, Noah finished his life by faith. He walked through life by faith. He found grace in the eyes of God. He pleased God. He saved his family from the flood. And he lived out his life in faith. And that's the kind of life that I desire to live. And I think you do as well. Abraham was the same way. He lived in faith, not just when he was young, but even more so as he got older. When he was 100 years old, he had a child by faith. And then beyond that, he offered Isaac up by faith. And he continued to live the life of faith. And so my encouragement to you today is really, for those of you who are younger, continue to walk by faith, but live by faith. But I want to say to the folks that are older, you need to also, I know you have a lot of miles behind you and you have life is settled down a little bit, and you're going along. But you still have to walk by faith. You still have to live by faith. In the retirement years, in all the years of your life, you should live by faith. To walk by faith. We'll learn more of what that means. But I want to encourage you, I don't want the stories of faith in my life to be 30 years old. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be able to say, let me tell you about what God did 30 years ago, but also let me tell you about what God did last week in my life. Let me tell you how God has been working in my life today. That's the way we should desire it. Not just having stories from, many years ago. Thank God for those things many years ago. But Paul said, forgetting that which is behind, I press forward, I press toward the mark. And so we have to go on by faith. So let me encourage you, never grow weary in the walk of faith. Never start to think, I've made it this far and I got it, we're on the home stretch here and we can just kick into neutral. No, you have to walk by faith every day. So I think we've covered that. Let's move to the second point, the patience of their faith. Now notice, we're just going to take this phrase by phrase. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. They hadn't received it all the way. They hadn't got their hands on it in many instances, but yet they continued in faith. They were patient in their faith. Did you know that the promises of God do not expire at the grave? Think about that. They go on. And they're still true. They're still right. And so we need to have a patience of faith. Now, I know that it's some of the kids are going to relate to this, perhaps. But have you ever, adults too, have you ever, let's say, this is just an example. Let's just say your parents, you know, make some promises and then they didn't follow through, right? Or at least it seemed to you they didn't keep them all. And so you start to think, well, you know, the first time they make the promise or they say it. And here's the thing, boys and girls. Part of it is they didn't really know they were making a promise. You know, in other words, sometimes you say to a kid, you know, maybe someday we should do this. Well, right away, that's a promise to them sometimes, you know. And then later on they say, hey, you said we would do that. Well, wait a minute. I said, well, maybe we should sometime. I never really said we would do it, you know. But kids are that way. They hear it and they go, boom, and they get excited. Right? They get excited about it. They're all worked up. Oh, yeah, we're going to. And then something happens. And sometimes you have to understand, dads and moms have good intentions sometimes. And we don't always follow through. And we don't get it all done. And we can't always go. So then you go, oh man, you get disappointed. And, you know, so then another time you hear something you think is a promise and you start to get excited, but you're a little less excited this time because maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. And that's the way life goes, right? And then pretty soon you hear things and you're like, okay, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, when you get to our age, then you're much more skeptical. But because that's just the way life is. But the problem is we apply that to God. When God makes a promise, He makes a promise. And when God says this is the way it is, that's the way it is. Now, sometimes we don't, you know, just because it doesn't happen in the time that we think it should happen. Did you know that God is eternal and to Him time is a lot different than it is to you and me? And it doesn't happen when we think it should happen or even the exact way we think it should happen. And so by faith, though, we have to trust God that God is working all things together for good. He's working it out, and you know we can still walk by faith. We can still believe and trust in the Lord. And so I'm saying today that faith, a real faith, a godly faith, these are Hall of Famers here. These are not, you know, which really, in a sense, they're normal Christians. I'm not going to say they're abnormal. This is the way every Christian should live, but because we get so used to a subnormal Christianity, when we see the normal, it seems abnormal. But this is the way Christians who walk by faith, they have a patience in faith. They didn't receive it. Abraham, what does that mean? Abraham came to the promised land, but you know he never actually possessed it, in as far as he didn't have a title deed, only in God's promise, but not that he really got to, you know, build a cabin and plow some ground and plant some corn, and he never got to do that. He was a wanderer. He lived in tents. He sojourned in the land, but he didn't actually put down a foundation in that land because he was still a pilgrim going through. And it wasn't, you know, and God said, Abraham, look around, see as far as you can see, north, east, west, this is your land. But there's other people living there in Abraham's day, you understand? And so it wasn't until later when they come out of Egypt, God says, I'm taking you to the promised land. What land's that? That's the land I showed Abraham. That's where you're going. Abraham died not having received it. But he believed and trusted. Did you know that when Joseph was the son of Abraham's, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then so he was the son of Abraham's grandson, Jacob, right? Had a son, Joseph. Joseph was sold, had a coat of many colors, you know. He was sold into Egypt in slavery. And then it was 400 years after that Moses came out of Egypt with the children of Israel, right? Did you know way back in the days of Joseph? Joseph got old. Joseph said, I'm going to die in Egypt. But he said, the day's coming. God's promised you're going back to that land. And when you go, here's what Joseph said. Take my bones with you. That's by faith. By faith, he said, I want you to take my bones with you. And they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Do you ever think about that? Somebody was carrying around the bones of Joseph all that time. They were. They packed him around until they got to the promised land, and then they finally buried him when they got there. But this is the kind of thing, by faith, they patiently, you know, looked ahead, they saw things, and that's what we're going to get to the next point, is this, the perception of faith. And so don't get discouraged when everything doesn't fall into place when you think it should, but faith waits, long-suffering, it waits upon God. And they had a perception of faith. Notice what he says here in the next phrase, but having seen them afar off, they saw, faith has good vision. They could see afar off. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You see, they saw it. They perceived it. They had a perception, spiritual. Those who walk by faith, you have a perception that's it's above what the physical eyes see. It's kind of like, you ever notice, let me try to give you an example. Let's say there's a kid who, you know, gets in trouble in Sunday school, and he, you know, and then, but you look at him and you go, I can see something in that one though, and I can see God using them, right? You know, there's a perception there. Or you see a boy and a girl and they pretend not to like each other, and you go, I can see those two getting together, you know. In other words, it just, you perceive it. You know, you can see it. It's not there yet, but you can just see it happening. Well, not exactly like that, but kind of like that. Those who walk by faith, they see what God sees and God promises in His Word. And they can look down the road and say, I can see that. I can see God's going to bring that about. And you know, a lot of people are looking around today and saying, boy, I'm looking at the world now and I can see God's bringing things to pass here. You know? But an eye of faith has perception. It sees above the plane of the world. The world, all they look at is, and this is why sometimes even in the politics we're hearing about all the time this week, they too oftentimes politicians, they just look at the immediate, here and now, Band-Aid fixed that and this. They're not looking down. They don't see, you know, I wish someone would get their eyes off of just trying to appease the problem or the whiners now and say, okay, let's look and say, what is good for our land? What is right for our country? What's the moral standard that's going to bless us in the future? Unfortunately, they don't have eyes of faith, most of them, to see that. To see that, hey, this sounds good, this is politically expedient, but it may not be what's the best for our country. Anyway, I'll get off politics. But there's a perception of faith. And when you walk by faith, you can have that. I'm just saying, we need to walk by faith. It pleases God. It brings perception. It brings patience. And then the persuasion. Are we? Yeah, that's where we're at. Number four, the persuasion of our faith, or their faith. They were persuaded of them. They were confident. They had these promises and they were confident about them and they were certain in them. And that brings a lot of stability in your life. When churches are wishy-washy or Christians are, you know, they're just not really dogmatic to say this is right, this is wrong. We're not convinced. We just, you know, there's some things that you say, well, I'm not convinced I have it figured out, and that's okay. But there's a lot of things God says, this is the way it is, this is right, and by faith, we believe it. Some of you know this. This is the illustration that comes to my mind right away. I wrote an article in the newspaper on creation. And you know, then I got some on the internet there on the website. I got feedback from those who don't like creation. They don't want to say we're idiots, you know, to believe that God created the world. Well, they can throw all kinds of insults and facts and things, or things they call facts, science, this and that. The fact is, I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I believe what the Bible says. God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that. You're wasting your time to try to move me from that because I know it's right. And see, because by faith. Why? The Bible says it in this book. Is it in Hebrews? Yeah, up about chapter verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then it goes on and says, by faith we know that God created the world out of things that weren't there. That's my very bad paraphrase. But see, it's by faith. I believe it. Science doesn't contradict that, true science, by the way. Because science, if you study, if it's just studying what God created, you'll find that God created it. But I'm convinced. It's just true. You're convinced of things. And we have to be convinced, or else we'll be tossed back and forth. We'll be up and down all the time. But when you have faith, you have solid footing. And walking by faith, you can just say, listen, I'm sure. I'm convinced. Now, there's some things, you know, you might come and say to your wife, listen, I believe God's leading us in this way. And, you know, I think God wants to do this with our family. And she'll ask you that all-important question. Are you sure? Right? And you go, yes, no. I think I am. I'm mostly sure. I'm pretty sure. And you know, sometimes, listen, I've learned through the years, because I used to be like Gideon. I'd say, Lord, I want you to, you know, do something so I really know, you know. But walking by faith sometimes is just in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And when you do that and He starts directing your path, you got to say, okay, I don't know all where this path leads, but I trust God that this is, you know, you have to trust. Sometimes I've taken those kind of steps, and they're big turns in our family's history, and I say, this is what God wants to do, and they say, are you sure? And I say, I've asked God, I've prayed, I've looked at it, and I believe that's what God's doing, so I'm going to say, yes, this is what God wants. And I just step out in faith, you know? You step out in faith, and if it's by faith, and God is leading, you'll find out He keeps putting light on that path and He keeps taking you down there. He doesn't abandon you out there. And it's scary at times, but you just walk by faith. All right. So there's the persuasion of faith. Then the passion of faith. They embraced them. They embraced them. They didn't just casually hold them. They held them tightly. They were convinced. They were compelled by their faith. And they were passionate. They were strong about it. We need some people that are passionate about faith. Joshua and I listen to sermons when we do newspapers. We do this job on Thursdays. And it's about 4 or 5 hours we're out there, right? So we hear several. We were listening to Dr. David Gibbs, who's a really great preacher. He's a lawyer too, but he's a preacher. Anyway, and Dr. Gibbs told this story. I'll just tell it to you real fast. He said he was down in Houston, Texas at a church, and it was a big church, and the pastor said to him, he was visiting preacher, and he said to Dr. Gibbs, would you want to come? Our men meet at 5 a.m. for prayer. Do you want to come and pray with us? And Dr. Gibbs, not a morning person, he said, well, okay, I'll come. And he said, all right, you got to meet me and we'll get there and we'll pray. So Dr. Gibbs says, I'm thinking, okay, 5 a.m., men's prayer meeting, there's going to be 3 or 4 guys there, right? He said, I got to the church, there were 200 men in there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the pastor told him, he said, you don't understand, these men meet here every, I don't know if it was once a week or every day. Do you remember? Anyway, they meet at least weekly at 5 a.m. and have been doing this for years. Why? Because they believe in prayer. They were passionate about it. You see, we're often not passionate about it because we're not persuaded. And we're not persuaded because I have to go back up through my notes. We're not persuaded because, well, and I thought about this, but it's true. We're not passionate because we're not persuaded. We're not persuaded because we don't have that perception. And we don't have perception sometimes because we don't have the patience to walk in faith and stay there. And so it's a progressive thing. But I do have to move along. They had a passionate faith. And then number 6, they had a professing faith. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that said such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And that country, of course, was heaven. And they're just passing through. Abraham didn't know where he was headed exactly as far as the geography, but he knew where he's heading as far as heaven. And he just said, you know, here I am, I'm in this land, I'm passing through, I don't have any real claim on it as far as the people here are concerned, but that's okay, I don't need it anyway, I know where I'm going. You know, I'm looking for, it's Abraham saw the land, and I'm sure he thought to God, yes, this is wonderful. You know, you give this to my descendants and so on. But Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that was his profession. His profession was, listen, I'm just a pilgrim on this earth. This is not, my citizenship isn't here. I'm concerned about Canada. We should vote if you can vote. And, you know, we should be involved and try to do things. But the fact is, really, our citizenship's in heaven. And so the profession was, we're just pilgrims and strangers. We're sojourners in this land. We're seeking a country beyond this land. And then I'm going to do this last one with you and we'll close. The peril of faith. Verse 15 says that truly, if they had been mindful of that country, mindful means thinking about it, right? If they were thinking about the old country, they might have had an opportunity to return. But they're walking by faith, and their eyes were on heaven, their eyes were on God, their eyes were on the things of God. They forgot about what was back there. They weren't mindful of it. Now, here's what you have to just take from that. I think it was helpful in my mind when I thought about it. If you think on things long enough, you'll find opportunity. In other words, if you think on immoral things long enough, you'll find opportunity to be immoral. If you think on sinful things, you know, if those things are in your head, you'll find there's opportunities out there to do wrong. Would you agree with that? And if your mind's on those things, you're going to find those opportunities. But have you ever had your mind on something else, and you just didn't even really pay attention to what was right there in front of you? Because your mind was somewhere else, right? Well, if your mind is on the things of heaven, if your mind are on the things of God, those opportunities are there, but you're going to miss them because, you know, the opportunities to do wrong, and that's good to miss them. I'm glad we missed those opportunities. Because that's not, you're not even thinking about it. It doesn't cross your mind. Because your mind's set on God. That's why we should set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. If you know, and so if you're struggling with temptations are all around you, maybe it's because you've got your eyes, you know, where they shouldn't be. Lift up your eyes, look unto the Lord. And if you're living for heaven, you're living for the goal, the prize is to please God, to live by faith. All this stuff on the earth is going to pass you by, and that's good. It just, you don't get caught up in it. Had they been mindful, they might have returned, but they weren't mindful. They were set on the things of God. So, these are, I know it's a kind of a big outline. Maybe it's a little too much. I hope not, that you can take all that in. But if we walk by faith, we can please God. And when we walk by faith, this is an illustration, an example of those that walk by faith. They have a perception. They have a perseverance. They have these kind of things in their life. Where are you? Are you walking by faith? I'll close with verse 16. It says toward the last part of that verse, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, does that imply that maybe there are some that he would be ashamed? Does seem to, doesn't it? Because he says these walk by faith, and therefore God wasn't ashamed to be called their God. God might be the God of some, but he's a little ashamed of it. Because they're not walking by faith. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Doesn't mean that he's not going to save you or keep his promises. It just means that he wished you would walk by faith. You know, we have children, not we, but I'm saying just in general. People have children, you know, you love them, but you go, yeah, I wish though. I wish they were doing this. And I see this and I say, God would look at our lives and say, I wish they'd walk by faith. They miss so much because they don't. And when those who do,
hey, they're in the Hall of Fame. They're, you know, God's got his eye on them. And so I want to encourage you today. Are you walking by faith? You can examine your own heart. Jesus said when he returned, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find you walking by faith? If you're not walking by faith right now, what's the prospect of him finding you walking by faith then? And so if you need to take some time today and get your eyes back where they should be, align your life, look down the road by faith, say, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith, then I encourage you to do that. Let's go ahead and stand.